Amen, indeed. Thank you, choir, for your wonderful performance. Every Sunday, we are so blessed to have our wonderful choir. So thank you. And blessed to have our choir director, Chris. Thank you very much. So this Sunday, we are in the Gospel of Mark. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to be in Mark 11. I'm going to be reading Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Amen. So, this morning is our wonderful Palm Sunday, a Sunday of celebration, a Sunday of praise, praise to Jesus, the King, the Messiah. On Sundays like this, it's a little bit different, kind of how we started the day. We started out not doing our Sunday school. We did the Palm Sunday procession down Main Street. And just a little interesting fact about me, when things get thrown off like that, it messes with my head. So if I seem a little scattered this morning, it's because it's a different type of morning and I'm trying to get back into things. But it's a wonderful day of praise, praise to God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want to ask a question, and I'd like you to continue to think about this question as we go through the sermon and as you continue through this Holy Week. Who are you listening to? Sounds like a pretty simple question, but really think about that. Who are you listening to? The literal thought of a child is wonderful. Yes. But who are you listening to in your heart, little girl? So as we come to this story, it's kind of interesting, and I'm going to at some point flip over into Luke to bring a couple pieces of how Luke tells the story. As you know, the gospel writers, they had their own perspective and theological themes that they tried to bring out. So eventually I'll jump over to Luke to bring out a couple things he says there. But as we look at how Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and as always, I want to reiterate the context of what's been happening. So we have been going through our walk through Luke, and we are jumping ahead, obviously, but we need to keep everything in context. Now, Jesus' ministry had been going on for about 3 years, right? And he'd been doing so many miracles and healings and teaching with authority, and he'd got a pretty good following. I mean, one of the previous Sundays, we talked about a man even being lowered through the roof because they couldn't get to Jesus. His friends, the man was a paralytic, and his friends brought him to Jesus, and he said, "Get up and walk," with the Pharisees right there. So Jesus had gotten this really good reputation with some and really bad reputation with others. And we see how this story is coming all together. And so Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's coming to die. Now, the people there who are shouting, "Hosanna in the highest," they didn't know that. They didn't understand what was happening, but they saw who they thought was going to bring about what they thought to be the restoration of Israel. Because we always have to keep in mind the context around Jesus. Israel had their own idea of who the Messiah was going to be. They had their own idea of what he was going to do, what he was going to bring about, and a lot of it was the temporal here and now. He's going to restore the borders of Israel. He's going to drive out the Romans. He's going to bring back kind of the days of David and the days of Solomon, or Israel was this bright, shining star in the lands, and not realizing what really Jesus was coming for, ushering in the kingdom of God, which is so much bigger, so much better than what they could understand from their limited perspective. And it's because of that limited perspective that their attitudes change throughout the week as we get to the cross. So as we can kind of get into the scripture, understanding the context around this, there are a couple things that really pop out to me in how Jesus is speaking to his disciples and how he's kind of guiding them, directing them. The Lord's will always be done. God's will always be done, and God's will is always perfect. What are they shouting? They're shouting, "Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest heaven." So what does that actually mean? The literal translation of Hosanna is "save now." Obviously, there's other contexts that go with that as they're shouting, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Obviously, they see Jesus as coming from God, and some of them consider him a prophet. Others, like the disciples in the inner circle, see him as Lord and Savior, but still not really understanding what that means, what that's going to entail. So people are saying, "Save us now." We see that the Lord has sent his, as they would see, his servants, his prophets. "Hosanna in the highest. Save us now." At least there's that understanding that God is going to save them somehow, some way, just not really sure what the way is going to be. And here's where I wanted to flip over into Luke. You can join me if you'd like. It's Luke 19, 28-44. As they're shouting, as they're doing this processional, and Jesus is going through the streets into Jerusalem, here are the Pharisees again. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Verse 40, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. That's kind of going back to what I just mentioned of God's will be done. Think about that for a second. God's will be done. No matter what happens here on earth, no matter what kind of adversity comes against the church, comes against the body of Christ, God's will be done. What is his will? To save us through Jesus on the cross, Jesus resurrected, and creating in us a new creation. And then sending us out to continue with the mission of Jesus Christ, the mission of spreading the gospel. God's will be done. So it doesn't matter what adversities come against us. Doesn't matter who tries to shout down the word of the Lord, who tries to stop the message from going out. God's will be done. Because even if we're quiet, he will rise up stones to cry out. And we get to share in that mission. We have the honor and privilege of working out God's will on earth. So even when people say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples," Jesus says, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. And here's where I kind of want to get back to that question. Who are you listening to? You know, as Don pointed out in the children's sermon, kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but it's okay. How we had Israel, the Jews, gathering around Jesus, praising him, laying out their cloaks in the street, saying, "He is the king coming in," and no more than a couple days later, calling for crucify, crucify. We'll even take the murderer off your hands so you can crucify the King of Kings. Now, why would people do that? The human psyche is kind of interesting. When God calls us sheep, we're the sheep of his pasture, you got it right, because sheep are herd animals. When we get into big groups, we like to follow each other, and the loudest voice usually is how we kind of follow along. But who are you listening to? You know, back in the time when Jesus was going to the cross, they were listening to the Pharisees. Before that, they were listening to Jesus. They were hearing his teaching, hearing him speak with authority, seeing him do miracles, feeding the 5,000, healing people who were blind, healing people who couldn't walk since birth. And they were saying, "This man has authority. This man is from God." And you even had those who were close to him saying, "This man is God, the Son of God." But even those closest to him ran away. Who are you listening to? Now, the Pharisees, in the beginning of the Gospels, I try to give them a little bit of credit in that the Pharisees had been seeing these people come out of the mountains, come out of the hills, and for like 400 years prior to Jesus, and each one would say, "I'm the Messiah." They'd get a little gathering, and then they would die off, and then the disciples of them would scatter. So at the outset, they were trying to please the Lord and like, okay, we're not going to follow false idols. But as the scriptures progress and as Jesus shows who he is, for some reason, God's providence, they hardened their hearts against Jesus being the Messiah. And they started to rally people around them saying, "This man is claiming to be God, and he can't be God. He's a man standing right here. Blasphemy. Crucify." Now, in times like that, I try to understand. That's kind of where my brain goes. Try to understand human behavior. Try to understand how you can go from following Jesus, laying your cloak out before him, the triumphal entry, to listening to the Pharisees saying, "Blasphemy, he can't be God." And what I can only conclude is, what were they listening to? You know, in this world, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that We don't battle against the flesh. We battle against dark forces. That's one thing that we really don't like to talk about a lot, is the devil is real. There are demons. Jesus cast them out. And they do mess with our head. Who are you listening to? Paul tells us to test every spirit. That if a word comes about God or about theology or the mission of God and how we are working in the church, we test the spirit against the word of God. It's one of the reasons we need to be in our Bibles every day reading the word. And when we're in our Bibles reading the word, the Holy Spirit works within us. And it's a continual spiritual maturity in that we can go back to a passage we've read 100 times. Oh, I know this story. I don't need to dive deep in this one. I can just skim over it. No, dive deep into those stories. Even when you think you know everything about that story, dive into it. Because the Holy Spirit works in your heart, works in your mind to continually grow you to follow and listen to God, listening to the Holy Spirit. Because as those disciples were following Jesus, they were listening to the word of God. He even said, this man speaks with authority. And if you remember, we talked a couple weeks ago about how the Pharisees would speak on the authority of other Pharisees, saying, this rabbi said this, and therefore it's that. But Jesus said, I say this. As we read through the Gospels, there were several occasions where he just took the modern common thought and turned it on its head. You've heard it say, do not commit murder, but I say, don't hate your brother in your heart because you've already committed murder. Paraphrased, of course. So who are you listening to? And I think that was the problem as the Jews were entering into Jerusalem and the week progressed and the Pharisees stirred up trouble and saying, this is blasphemy. He cannot be God. Even when they saw him heal up, took his mat and went home. Even as the news of Jesus saying, Lazarus, come out, raising the dead, even as that news went to Jerusalem, they said blasphemy. They hardened their hearts against the word of God. One of the parables that Jesus tells is the parable of the sower who spread the seed, and some went on good soil, some went on rocky soil, and the ones that fell in the rocky soil, how they sprouted up really quickly, but they had no roots. So when the sun came out, torched the plant. I think that was a lot of the Jews there at this time saying, Hosanna in the highest, and days later saying, crucify. What they thought they were getting, what their perception and assumptions about who Jesus was didn't match up with reality, so they just fell away without hearing the word of God. Who are you listening to? Now, an interesting thing about listening. You can hear someone speak, right? You may be able to recite back what someone says to you. But what does it mean to really listen? Where is your heart? Because wherever your heart is, your body follows. Have you given your heart over to God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed to Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, turning away from your sins? Is your heart connected to God? Because it's only then when your heart is connected, you fully surrender to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that you can truly listen to God. Because if you're just listening to some random person, are you really hearing? Where is your heart will determine how you listen. Who you listen to. The Jews were listening to the Pharisees, saying, oh, they must be right. They have all the knowledge. Studies, and they can quote so many parts of the Old Testament. They must be right. Without turning their hearts toward God and God to what Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit says. That's what it comes down to. Is your heart right with Jesus? Have you confessed your sins to Jesus Christ, calling him as your Lord and Savior? Become a new creation within Christ as he sanctified you. Remember, we talked last week that sanctified, it means to be made holy and set aside for God's holy purposes. Who are you listening to? There's a lot of things to listen to in this world. I think in this day and age, there's so many different things to listen to that we can get overwhelmed. Sometimes you pick up your phone and there's 10,000 notifications of, you got this news, that Facebook, this other social media, telling you all these different things. But what do we listen to? As we start out this Holy Week, praising and raising of Jesus above all other names, calling him Lord, calling him King of Kings, kings. You're listening to. Well, hopefully you're not listening to just me, because I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to mess up. I try my best to bring you the Word of God as God lays it on my heart. But don't listen to me. Listen to God as the Holy Spirit works in your heart, shows you what your spiritual gifts are, shows you where He has put you right now within this church, in this community, because every Christian, every part of the body of Christ has been given spiritual gifts for God's glorious purpose. And that's who you need to listen to. The Holy Spirit in your heart. And He can only be in your heart if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father God, on this Palm Sunday, we lift up the name of Jesus, name above all names. Lord, we praise you and thank you for Jesus on the cross. Even more so, even praise you for praise Jesus from the dead, that we get to share in that resurrection as we share in the death to sin. Father God, if there's anyone who can hear this message that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you can touch their hearts today. Show them that you are maker of heaven and earth, that you save us from our sins, to reconcile us to you, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone who does not know you, they would fall on their knees pray, Father, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin, to my sin. I confess Jesus Christ as my risen Lord and Savior. I pray the Holy Spirit will do a work in me, so I may follow you all the day, all the day, all the day, all the day. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.